Thank you very much to the six delegations that took the floor. Very supportive statements on several of the items that were touched on in the opening statement this afternoon. And I know my colleagues, as we get to individual items, will go further in these individual agenda items. But maybe if I can pick out a few that were common amongst them. There was obviously a strong focus on where we are on results-based management and attention and obviously support for us to lay out a clear timeline. This was requested by the U.S., but I'm sure was amplified by other delegations, if not requested specifically. We are very close to coming back to you. I think at the last standing committee, I noted that we were about to look at taking the project which we had put on hold in order to be able to reflect some of the broader issues that we've talked about certainly in this executive committee last year, but during the standing committees in each of its segments, trying to ensure that we have both the Global Compact on Refugees, the Comprehensive Response, the broader UN reforms, and some of the other change processes, particularly as we're talking about the internal reforms for UNHCR and moving the planning process much more firmly to the country operations, which is a fundamental shift, and it is not the way we started the revision process two years ago or so. So if you can bear with us a little bit longer in terms of your patience, we will come back to you with a timeline, I would expect by the end of this year, in terms of what it's going to look like going forward. But given the complete transformation that we're anticipating, this is not going to be something that's going to be completed immediately or quickly. But we will try to break this into pieces so that you can see the changes and in terms of the transformation in lockstep with our internal change, particularly related to regionalization and decentralization. I particularly liked the comment that was made by the U.S. delegation in terms of risk management and the need to minimize risk, but noting that it will never be zero. And there is obviously an inherent contradiction between zero tolerance for misconduct and so on, particularly when you're talking about fraud and corruption. You will hear later from the Inspector General's office that there is a firm belief that as we're strengthening controls, as we're changing culture within the organization, as we're reinforcing from the very beginning to the end process in terms of follow-up investigation function and so on, there is increasing confidence in our ability to be able to follow up on those allegations, which means others are stepping forward. But it's also pointing out key areas within our systems that we know can be strengthened. So I do appreciate very much that it will never be zero, and the fact that we're coming to you to tell you where we see weaknesses is indication of that, certainly, and will continue to strengthen. The other point in terms of the U.S. statement, which I think is important to underscore, you know, six of our largest donors have just spoken and taken the floor, and obviously the element is strongly on the financials. However, the humanitarian diplomacy, not just those six, but the rest of you provide day in and day out for our representatives, for our senior management teams and the like in your capitals, but also where you're present overseas, helps us enormously. And we can't emphasize that enough. I think our whole debate the last 4 days and particularly this morning's discussion on protection is case in point of the important role that you play on humanitarian diplomacy for us and the strong partnership. There were questions, I think, from Canada with regard to how we would intend to build capacity in key sectors, particularly with regard to the Comprehensive Refugee Response Framework, and how we will use evaluation and analysis. And I'm happy to say you're sitting almost right next to the head of our evaluation service where you are. But she has been, and her team, a very close partner with Daniel Andres and his team in terms of trying to measure how we are proceeding with the implementation of the comprehensive response, what needs to be tweaked, where there are differences in terms of particular case situations in the 15 that have been discussed in the course of the proceedings this week, how do we measure impact, and how do we then fundamentally shift and transform the organization, which then ties in very nicely with other elements we're talking about, including strategic planning, including results measurement, impact, and the like. So I can't tell you exactly which those sectors are going to be currently, because I think we're still undertaking that evaluative work, but trust us, the evaluation team is very much linked into that process. There were questions from, or actually commendation from Norway in terms of the collaboration with other agencies. Very happy to report that in November, I think I've mentioned in the Standing Committee just a couple of weeks ago, the joint UN partner portal, which we have undertaken with UNICEF and WFP, will be officially launched. And this is just one example of the collaborative work we're doing with other agencies with regard to partnership. This will make it easier to our NGO friends in the room. This will make it easier to work with us as a partner, as well as others. Obviously, not having to go to each mailbox in each UN agency separately, but to have a one-stop shop with regard to relationship management. It's just one example of many, many that I could cite, but one that I thought to mention in this setting. We appreciate, obviously, the focus of all of the delegations in terms of the work that we're doing on integrity and on misconduct in particular. I think that we will continue to strengthen. This is something that we've looked at for many years, but intensified efforts and will continue to do so. All of you also mentioned, I believe all of you mentioned, the appreciation for the risk management 2.0. There was a request for further detail on that. It was pretty detailed in the statement itself, but we can certainly provide additional information in terms of our rollout efforts. And again, this is not to replace key functions of an operation. It is not to become the oversight or the compliance or the project control or the finance piece of operations. It is to accompany for a short period of time senior management to be able to strengthen and make adjustments in terms of operations management in order to strengthen their own implementation of programs. So it is considered to be a temporary inject of resources, but fundamentally shifting the way that we implement our programs. There were I would obviously agree with the distinguished delegate from Norway that we need to continue to intensify our efforts to broaden the donor base. So we certainly would implore those of you that are considering but haven't come forward in greater numbers to not only contribute, but also to think about the quality of the contribution. Going back to the comments of the High Commissioner on Monday, the statement made by Germany about the underfunded Africa operations, the support that we're able to provide to some of those operations, frankly, would not be able to happen if not for the broadly earmarked or unearmarked support from the donors in this room. And I would also add the private sector. The $445 million that I mentioned earlier, a big piece now of our unearmarked support is actually through that mechanism, and it has allowed an infusion of funds in some of the operations, particularly on the continent of Africa, but not exclusively. And that is priceless support. The UK delegation asked a number of questions with regard to risk management.